All right. So we've been talking about spiritual warfare, and we've been talking about it lately and what it means to build a defense. And speaking lastly over the last few weeks, the second point specifically, most Christians are missing a deep understanding of the biggest part of the spiritual warfare reality, and that's this: their own spiritual authority. All right, the enemy has no right to run us over. Any running over that takes place is because we're not standing in our authority the way that we need to. And so last week, or 2 weeks ago, we started talking about this and the fact that we're in Christ. And we looked at how the curse brings death, and how being in Christ we have life. And therefore Jesus conquers death. And so the curse, our authority, is given back to us in Christ. Last week we looked at owning that as men. Because the curse touched three entities: Satan, Eve, and Adam. So we talked about what it meant to be in Christ, and how Satan's curse and the death that came as a result of that, you know, has been defeated in Christ. Last week we looked at men and what it means to own authority as a man, what it means to not let failure control us, and to rather let the authority that God has given us as leaders and as warriors come out in our homes, come out in our families, our relationships, and really be men who have authority, right? Not men who have power necessarily. We don't just go run people over. But authority is that deep-seated rest, that the power that we have is given to us, and we can stand in it, and we stand in it confidently. And then we're like David beating up giants, you know, because that's what men are called to do, called to war. Today, we're going to talk about Eve, all right? And this last point is just as true about Adam and as about Eve as it is Adam, that understanding how the curse affects each one of us in the deepest parts of who we are is one of the keys to mounting a proper defense. There's a reason why men tend toward the things that they do. There's a reason why men tend to lose authority in certain ways. And that's the result of the curse. Eve was cursed as well in the garden, and therefore she's going to have tendencies. She's going to have natural bents that come as a fact, just from the fact that she is cursed. And so today, we're going to talk about Eve's curse. So let's read it together in Genesis 3. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." Now, I'm not trying to equate women with Satan here by keeping Satan's curse in here. I am trying to point out the fact that the serpent and Eve, their curses go hand in hand. Because look what God says. Still speaking to the serpent. But look who comes into the picture. "I will put enmity," or hatred, "I will put hatred between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.'" Eve owns the curse in very specific ways. It's interesting to me that Eve shows up in the serpent's part of the curse. Here's something that I read. It's in a book, I think by Stacey Eldridge, where she says before creation, Satan was the most beautiful thing that God had ever made. Lucifer, as the covering angel, was as beautiful as it got. There was nothing more beautiful in all the world, the Bible says. But when Lucifer fell, he sacrificed his beauty. Eve comes into the picture, right? Now who's the beautiful one? You know, now who holds this beauty? And who does the serpent go after? The serpent goes after her. The serpent has special hatred for women. And when we look at the world around us and we look at the lies that the enemy tries to give to women, I mean, they're on such personal levels, right? You know, when it comes to insecurities and hurts and relationships, I mean, it affects women in such deep ways. In ways that really, I don't really have any right talking about because I'm not a woman. And so I'm not going to. So if you're here for the first time with us today, you have a special treat. And not having to listen to me talk today, but you actually will get to hear from my wife this morning. Sherry is going to teach us about the curse, how women own the curse, and what it means to have authority as a woman. So that being said, I'm going to invite my wife in. There she is. And I'm going to turn things over to her. So, yeah, here's my beautiful wife. Give her a hand.
Guys like my threads today? we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I just want to ask you guys to come into God's presence with me as we pray along with me. God, I stand in your presence, and I stand as a child of you, and I just am awed by everything that you have placed on my head, the authority that you have given to me, and I stand in the authority of the cross, and I stand in the blood of Jesus Christ right now for the women here. God, I've released their hearts because of the authority that you've given me. And I ask them, Lord, to engage your word this morning, to engage your spirit. And I ask, Father, again, for release. And I ask, Lord, that you would bind the enemy and all of the darkness that he wants to pour into this place. And I stand here and I say he has no business and no right to be here. And so I bind him in the blood of your son. And I stand in the authority of the cross and I bring that against it. And I just pray for any spirit of disunity to be dismissed. For this is a place of goodness and holiness and the power of your word and truth. And I just pray that you come and be with us. Amen. Jay didn't know that I was going to say this, but I just wanted to comment on something that he had said last week about men being, you know, the greatest thing and all that. And, you know, men are great. Yeah, they are. But he said something about, he just kept using this one phrase, and I'm like, what the heck? And he said, you know, men are so simple. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill him. So men are simple. And because of that very fact, women have come to know a lot of shame because we are not. We are not simple. We are very complex. But that's just where the glory begins. Let me tell you, that is just where the glory starts, is in that complexity. So no more shame. No shame for us women for not being simple. So I just had to comment to that. So women have known shame just simply for being woman. Is that not true? I've just felt that shame for simply being woman, for all the things that that bears. Like Jay had referenced, I don't believe that in Genesis, I don't believe that Eve, Satan came to Eve because she was the weak one or any of those things. I think he came to her because of her beauty and her glory, and those are the things that he once possessed, and so he has a special liking for women. I have pinpointed two ways that I believe that women own the curse. Before I get there, I just want to say, between these two things, which one today would you pick? If you had to choose, would you pick what I'm wearing? Or this beautiful, comfy, nice, glorious gown, and this rags, dirt, filth, nastiness. You would choose that one, right? Yeah, yeah. All right. Women, we'll get back to that, but women own the curse in two ways, control and pride. Control through addiction, through food, drinking, friendships. You can be addicted to friendships, gossip, anger, hiding. I'm just going to name some things. I'm not going to stay here, but I just want you to hear some of the names. And you fill in the blank for what it is in your life, too. Through pride, depression, judgment, image, materialism, pornography. That is a women's sin also. That's just not for men. Shame. Women struggle with jealousy, loneliness, being connected to other people, the connection we desire, and our thoughts is a big one. Sometimes we get to the place in our Christian lives where we just like, we know these things about ourselves. We know that we struggle with this or that or gossip or materialism or image or whatever it is for you. And we just are like, Yeah, so we just own that as like my struggle. Well, this is just my struggle. Like, I was always told that I was a selfish person. And I don't know if it was through words or concepts growing up or what, but I just, like, took that on. I owned that. I am a selfish person. And I just had great freedom when God spoke to me, and you are not. I am not that. And so we just say, okay, I wrestle with this, so I'll own it. Okay, I'll put it on. It's mine because, you know, I struggle with this. Giving way to these things has robbed women of what they really want, and that's to be valued. God has a much higher calling for us than usefulness. Okay, this is where it gets good. Anybody watch American Idol? Yeah, okay, rocks, love it. And the guy, Taylor, what's his name, Taylor? Yes, love him. Oh my gosh. So you might be hearing some of that from me, the woo today. So I was like, seriously, when I was, God was just speaking and just pouring over me this week with this stuff. And I was like, I was running around the house and I'm just like, I couldn't stop. I'm like, woo! And the kids are just like, and I'm just running, woo! I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so great. So it gets really good. So hold on. I'm going to Romans, so go to Romans 6. Romans 6. I'm going to read fast, but if you can, just go ahead and try and follow along. I have the, I don't know what I have. Jay got me this Bible. New Living something? Yeah. I really like it. Okay, Romans 6. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? For if you have, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may have new lives. Woo! That's what I'm going to do every time I read something like that. We have new lives. Woo! Since we have been united with him in his death, it only gets better. We will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. When he died once to break the power of sin. That is just glorious. Oh my goodness. But now that he lives for the glory of God, so that you also shall consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, and now you have new life. Woo! New life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer your master. Sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You live under the freedom of God's grace. I'm assuming that you put this together what this robe is. This robe represents the things that we own in our lives. I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear, but all of those things, the control and the pride and all the things that I listed is represented in this robe. And this is what we as women put on every day. We put on this shame and this defeat every stinking day. We put on this depression and this loneliness. I mean, you heard it. You read it with me. We are alive. We are new. Why are we choosing this? Why are we choosing this? Okay, I'm going to go down just over one verse over chapter 8. One chapter. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. There's no condemning for those who belong to Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'm going to go to Colossians 1. You can go there with me or just listen. It's fine. Colossians 1. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Then Colossians 2. Skip over to Colossians 2:10. Got to find it. There we go. So you are also complete. You are complete through your union with Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. You came to Christ. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life. Woo! You were raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. Can I hear it, please? Alive. Thank you. Alive. Amen. Absolutely. He made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. This is amazing. It's going to bring tears to my eyes. He canceled the record of all the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the cross. Amen. Absolutely. Look at it. He canceled the record of all the charges. Everything that we put on every morning, the shame because of an addiction, the shame of, how many people we've slept with, the shame of cigarettes, the shame of all these things, it just does not matter because he has canceled it. It is not there. It is not there. This is not ours to pick up. This is not for us. This does not belong on us. It is not for us. It is not ours. Colossians 2:20, just down a little bit. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Just amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. Having looked at that and who we are, I want to just ask you if you agree. Is it time? I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter if you agree because God has just told me that was the one thing. He's like, Sherry, you got to let them know it's time. It is time for us to stop. It is time for us to stand. No more hiding behind busyness, whether for you it's an apron or your kids or busyness for the church. Hiding behind your usefulness, no more allowing those things to define you. No more picking this up. No more putting this on. No more. These things are not you. This is not who you are. It is time that we as women step up. This is not just for men. This battle is not just for men. It is time. No more hiding. No more gossiping. Don't call the girlfriend on the phone and say things that you shouldn't be saying. No more judging each other. No more believing lies about yourself. No more screaming at your kids. No more knowing the truth but not living it. No more. No more. No more striving to be who it is you think others want you to be or who you think you ought to be. No more. Today is the day that it stops. Today is the day that I stand here before you with a very humble heart, but in the authority of Jesus Christ and the cross, and it's got to stop. We are glorious, and this is not us. This is not who we are. Being the woman that we're created to be does not mean that we lose our personality. A lot of people think you have to be a certain thing, and I didn't paint the picture of what I used to think it looked like, because everybody's picture of what a godly woman looks like is different. But we all have that picture of what it looks like. It doesn't mean any of those things. You allow God to show you what that picture is. It doesn't mean you have to be a pushover or weak, no personality or hidden. Actually, it's quite the opposite. I don't know if you guys know Deborah in Judges, Judges 4, Deborah. Oh my goodness. I read her and I was just like, I had to keep going back. I mean, it was just amazing. I couldn't get over this woman. If you haven't read it and you're a woman, you need to go and read it. Judges 4. She leads this army into battle. She leads an army into battle and they win. And they win. God placed her in that place as a warrior princess, and they won. That is just unbelievable to me. That's not the typical picture that we think of when we think of a godly woman, is it? At least not for me. I never grew up thinking that. But there it is. So I'm just going to reiterate, it's time, ladies, okay? It's time to take it off. It's time that you understand that today God is calling you. He is calling you and your heart to engage him. I want you guys, if you're a woman, I want you to all stand up. I just want you to yell as loud as you can, "No more! No more! It stops. It's done. No more! I can't hear you. No more. I can't hear you. One more time. No more!" That's right. Absolutely. No more. No more of this garbage. It is not ours. We will not do it anymore. Go ahead and you can have a seat. Thank you. You have to understand that you play an irreplaceable role in this. Yes, God can do what he wants to do without us. But you play an irreplaceable role, and he is calling for you to stand up, to choose, to renew your thoughts, and to fight. If you're a woman and you're hearing these things, I can guarantee you, you may not even realize it, but somewhere down deep in there, this is tugging at your heart. This idea for more and this adventure and to be a part of this story, it is there. It is in the thread of your heart, the fibers of your heart. It is there if you allow it to speak. I do want you to understand, though, that I'm not calling you to do one more thing in the church or to busy yourself more than you already do. Excuse me, I'm not telling you that you failed at yet one more thing. What I am calling you today, and the authority that Christ has put over me, is that we need to stop and stand. Stop and stand. But there's more. There's more to this story. We have an enemy. And he does not want our glory to shine. He does not want us to have victory. He does not want our beauty to come out. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. Just briefly, you can go there. You don't have to, whatever. 2 Corinthians, sorry about that. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. "But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment of their wicked deeds deserve." Then in 1 Peter 5, it talks about, I want to read it, so 1 Peter 5, 8. You guys all know this verse, I'm sure. "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." Stand firm against him and be firm in your faith. Stay alert. Stay alert. Two ways that I believe that the enemy attacks us. I do believe that he attacks women differently than he attacks men. One way is just blatant attack, and it's pretty much in your face. You can kind of see that it's an attack. I think that Cornerstone has seen a lot of this attack since this series. Just a lot of attack on the people here. And that's pretty blatant. That's a blatant attack. The other one is subtle whispers. That's why I think it's so important as women that we understand how our thoughts play into this, because I think that's where he gets us the biggest. As for women, I believe the most vulnerable place is our thoughts, since we are always thinking. This thing up here never shuts off. Like Jed said, with the men, like they really honestly stop thinking. They can do that. We can't. It really honestly never stops. It never stops. At least for me. I'm assuming that I'm not alone. But if the enemy can get us to whisper a first-person lie, he can get us to say all kinds of things. I am a gossip. I am a jealous person. Like I had mentioned before, I am selfish. I am the fixer, or I am the project. Or I am the person so full of shame because of my past or because of what I do now or whatever. I am the slanderer. And if he can get us to say these things, a lot of times we don't even realize that we're making this agreement. A lot of times he just whispers that little thing, and we're like, okay, you're right, I am. And all of it starts there, and then it gets us to, I'm worthless. I am worthless. And for women, that's the biggest fear, is being worthless, having no value. The big thing that women don't understand about lies is that lies come very close to our hearts. They hit us where it hurts and where we are weakest. Whether it's something you struggle with now or in the past, he knows, and he comes looking like a lamb, and he whispers a first-person lie to us, the things that I had mentioned. I am. Whatever it is for you, I am. It all started with a whisper that felt true. And this is pretty important, too, to get understand. When he attacks us with these things, they feel really true. I have had this in my life, and I've had it heard about it with women that I've, you know, come alongside of and stuff. And it's always like, but Sherry, it feels so true. It hurts so bad. The pain of what he's, and that's the whole point. That's the whole point, is that it feels so true, but it's not. It's not. If you're feeling like you are worthless and just, and the pain of that and what that bears for you, that's not true. Did you hear what I just read? Did it say you were worthless? Did it say any of those things? Absolutely not. That's the whole point. You are new. You are alive. You are redeemed. You are all of these things. That is how you know. That is how you know who you are and who you're not. If you're sensing these things, go here and see who you are. Go back. You got to go back. You got to go back to the truth. Yet again, there's more to the story. There's more to the story. There is a wonderful thing that we call redemption. Amen. Thank you. There is redemption. How do I fight back? You might be asking. How do I, if this all of these things are true, how do I do this? What do I do? The first one, I have five things. The first one is probably half the battle. Is identifying. If you can identify and name the lie, really that's half of it right there. Because it is so subtle and because it is a whisper, a lot of times it's very hard for us to identify that it's false. But if you can identify that it's false, you can war against it. The other thing too is a lot of times women, this has happened for myself too, I come up against the spirit of unrest, darkness, and I can't necessarily name it. I don't know what it is, But that doesn't mean that none of this stands. You always go back to the truth. Even if you can't name it, go back to the truth and war against it. The thing about identifying the lies is when you are in the early process of identifying is that you are attempting to see lies so that you will take the lies out, and that leaves a hole, a void. Where those lies were, they come out. If you don't replace it with truth, something will find its way back into the abscess. It's like baking a cake. And let me tell you, I am not a baker. I do not enjoy it. I don't mind eating it if you make it, but I sure as heck hate it. But it's like baking a cake. You can't just take some of the ingredients out and expect the cake to be okay. Expect it to come out okay. It's the exact same thing. Exact same thing. Two. So one is identifying. Two is renewing your mind with who you are. Going back to the truth. Going back to Romans, Colossians, and all of those places. And remembering, processing who you are, living there with Christ and in his presence. So women tell me that I know it in my head. I know it in my head. I know the truth. I know the truth. But I know what's true. I've been, a Christian most of my life. I know the answers, but I just, but. And I'm just, there's just no but. There's just no but. When I'm reading this, I'm not hearing Christ say to me, you are all these things, but you still fall short. Absolutely not. No way. Ephesians 4, 14 to 25. It says, Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try and trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I'm going to drop down to verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. And then it goes down to verse 31, but I'm going to read that in just a second. So throw off the old stuff. This isn't you. Throw it off. So that's number two, is renewing your mind, going back to the truth. Number three is to make a choice. This is really difficult because people think that it's just not enough. Like they have to do more. But really, in my experience of warring for myself, really, it really is just a choice. It comes down to a choice. It takes us to standing up and choosing. In Ephesians 4:31, that's just where I was, 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So you throw off all of these things. It doesn't say but. It says get rid of it and choose and choose and choose to be kind and choose to be tenderhearted and all of those things. I have had the privilege of working with a young lady that has come all the way from St. Louis, and we have been doing a mentorship relationship, and it's been really neat. And she's just going to come and share real briefly what this has looked like in her life, the choosing, and how it really just does stop at a choice, at a crossroads. And she'll just be real brief, and I just wanted you to hear from her instead of just hearing from me this morning. So her name is Chris.
Okay. Well, Sherry mentioned that I moved out here. It was about 8 months ago to do a discipleship and to come to Cornerstone. So we'll just start there. When I got here, I didn't have any knowledge of truth, basically. Like, all the things that we've been talking about, I just had no clue, didn't know who I was in Christ or any of that. So, you know, in the process of discipleship, I started to learn those things, and, like, working with Sherry, really, like, learned what my identity was in Christ and the power, you know, the power that gave me. And so, and learning that things, you know, that's what kind of brought to light, like, the chains and, like this. I definitely came wearing this with probably more stuff on it, but that's all right. So learning and knowing truth, that's what made me able to see that I was carrying this around and that it wasn't mine. And so, like she says, getting to a crossroads, that's eventually where I found myself. Like, I had the knowledge, I had the truth now, which I didn't have that before. So I could see the difference. You know, I could see what, how the enemy was attacking me and how the ground that he had in my life that I was giving to him. But there was something missing yet, because the knowledge of all this truth, like the knowledge of who I was in Christ, the knowledge of my authority, that wasn't what made the change. You know, that wasn't what brought victory. What that was choosing, like what she says, what it comes down to is a choice. And I kind of fell into that, like I thought that it would have to be more. Like, I didn't think it was as simple as it is. And I guess, like, something that's really cool about that is that, you know, God provided, like, everything that I need to stand up and to fight and to say no and to have life. But he leaves this little part for me. Like, I make the choice. I'm the one who fights. And I don't know, that's been, like, really cool for me to know. But I guess one important thing about it is that I kind of thought that it would be a one-time thing. But what I've been learning is that, you know, once you step in, like, once I stepped into my authority, once I started engaging the battle, like, it's over and over again. And it starts small. But, you know, it's like all the time. It's continuous. And I don't win all, you know, I'm not winning everything all the time. Like, there's victory for me, but, you know, I'm still learning and there's a process of stepping into this. But, I don't know, God brings me through it and shows me a lot through that. So, I guess that's all. Thank you.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about. And it really is just that simple. If you are understanding that the choice that you're taking is the authority of Christ, if you're understanding that this is what you're putting on, this is who you become, and you're standing in this, like Chris said, you are standing in this, okay? Then that really is where it's at, is choosing to say, okay, God. And of course, it is his help and his strength and all of those things that you need, too, to fight. Fourthly is community. It's community. Like when I just read Ephesians, it was talking about the body. And instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part of its own does its special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Take it to another gal. Take it to your house church. And let them come aside you and war with you and say, I am struggling with this. I do not want to own this. This is not mine. But for right now, I really need you to help war. And number five is embrace your authority. Embrace your authority. I guess embrace and understand, maybe, go hand in hand. Like, it's good to have this. It's good to have this, and it's good to know, and it's good to choose. But if I'm not, like, putting it on, and I'm understanding and living in it, then it doesn't really do me any good. So embrace your authority through prayer and worship. As I was going throughout this week was really interesting, by the way, because Jay was gone for 4 days, and when he left, I was in tears, and I'm like, okay, God, I cannot do this. You're asking way too much of me. First of all, to stand up here is way too much, and to take care of my children for 4 days without him and all that involves in the house and all that stuff, and I'm like, I can't do this. And I sat there at the table in tears as he left, and definitely came under some attack at a place that's very vulnerable in my heart. And Jay came alongside me before he left and warred with me. And then I had to sit there and think, okay, this can either be really, really, really bad, or this can be really, really good. And so it was like that crossroads that we were talking about. And I chose to live in who I am. I chose to wear this all week long without Jay. And I did it because it can be done. You stand in this. And the power is in the truth. The power is in who we are. And just keep going back to who I am. I'm going to have a song play. We put together a little thing. And I just really want you to engage the spirit, your spirit and God's spirit, and let those two meet. And just rest and listen to the words, and then Jay, I believe, is going to come back up and close it up. The printer was not working this morning, but maybe next week Jay will have. I really, really wanted to have the verses outlined for you so that you could take them at the door, because I think it's so, I'm very hands-on, and anything hands-on I can get is really good. And so I don't have that for you this morning, but it's just your standing in who you are and verses. So maybe we can have that next week for you to take with you so that you can fight. Jay is coming, but I wanted to just say one more thing. If that's us. That is us women. That's all us. That is us. We are alive. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh, we are so alive. We are free. Please, please feel your freedom. And I just wanted to open myself up. If anybody wants to know more or understand more or just talk or whatever, I would love to. I stand before you as a woman, and I know the heart of a woman. I know these things, and there's no judgment. So if in the weeks to come, just whatever, just let me know if I can help or anything. But you are alive. Live in your freedom.
All right, it's good stuff. I got a great wife. One thing for you married couples out there. I'm going to speak to men here because I think men need to take the first step. Unbeknownst to us a lot of times, but it's true nonetheless, that a lot of the lies that our wives believe are things that we have spoken to them, either through our actions or through our words, or through our emotions or our emotional disconnections. I have a challenge for you men who feel like being men this week. Sit down with your wife and ask, just ask her, you know, what lies have I spoken to you? And don't respond. Don't say a thing. Just listen. If you can't not respond, then don't have the conversation, because you'll just hurt her more. But I think you're all up for it. I think you have the courage to enter into these things and to say, you know, what lies have I spoken to you? Either with my actions, with my words, what things do you believe that I've been a part of? Because you need to understand this, is that as wives and husbands, we have authority over one another. I have the authority to break Sherry's curses. She has the authority to stand in the gap for me and to break those things. And so I challenge you to enter into that conversation with your wife. Just listen. Just listen and then pray. And if you need help, call us. We're glad to help. Call Pastor Tim. Talk to your small group leader. And we want to help you. We want to see you free. We want to see your marriage be all that it can be. And we want to see the ladies in our church free, free to be alive. I'm going to have Sherry close us in prayer and offer us the benediction. So let's all stand up together.
God, we stand before you, and we just praise you for the privilege of being your daughters, the privilege of being warrior princesses, and all that that means. We praise you for choosing to give us the authority of the cross and the authority of your blood, your son's blood. And I just thank you for that. And I do not take that lightly. And God, I just, I ask for a freedom and a release for the women to really just fully understand and embrace and know your goodness and know that they are so needed in this battle. God, Deborah, man, what a strong, valiant woman. And Lebanon needs the women of Cornerstone. God, I believe it. I believe it. You are doing a mighty work in Lebanon. You are going to turn the city upside down. There is going to be light to every corner. But women of Cornerstone have a huge role to play, and we have got to understand that. We have got to choose. And I just pray protection over the women. As they are understanding these truths, they will become vulnerable. And I just pray protection, that your spirit would be on them. And I just take the cross and I bring it against any darkness that would try and come. And I just thank you so much for the blood of your son. In his name, amen.
As you as you go out, your kids are going to be out there with their respective bar. So make sure that you pick them up. Please go directly to do that so that there's not... Oh, wait, there's one other thing. Sherry's up here talking. When your wife talks, you should listen. I just learned that. Sherry has a great idea, right? If you're a woman and you want to be a warrior and you want to hold a sword, we have one of those up here. This thing is actually like sort of pinkish, which is kind of cool, I thought. You know, like a samurai, pink samurai sword. She made me buy it. Yeah, at the I don't remember where. Anyway, if you want a visual reminder of who you, if you want a visual reminder of who you are as a woman, we got a Polaroid camera up here, and my wife's a wonderful photographer and whatnot. So she will be more than happy. She actually has a picture of herself holding a sword at a retreat that she went to, and you know, doing the warrior princess thing. So if you want to get a picture of yourself as a visual reminder of who you are, coming up to the front, just please don't hurt anyone. I think that's it. Next week, Authority as the Church. Holy cow, the conference I just went to like blew my mind. A lot of good stuff coming next week, so make sure you're here. You're dismissed. Go with God.